The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote this commandment. From the beginning of creation, God made man and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. Then Jesus saw this, and he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them and placed hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
This week, there was a funeral in Wichita. That by itself probably would not make news. But more than 7,000 people attended the funeral, with about 100 priests, 6 bishops, and the funeral was broadcast all across the world. It was a funeral for the history books. And it was one that took more than 70 years to plan and was way past overdue. And if you don't know about it, you should, because it was a funeral for a true American hero, a priest of Jesus Christ, a servant of God, and hopefully someday soon, a saint in the church. So this weekend, for a moment of reflection, I want to present to you the heroic, virtuous, saintly figure of the church, who hopefully is on his way to sainthood, whom you should know, and whom we can look forward to, and maybe someday he will inspire us all, and one moment in time, maybe become a saint in our lives. About 5 hours north of here, an hour north of Wichita, straight up I-35, is a small farming community known as Pilsen, Kansas. It's a Czech town, from descendants who came to this country seeking a new way of life. It's not much unlike many other farming communities here in Oklahoma, not unlike the small German enclave of Okarchi, Oklahoma, that spawned our own Blessed Stanley Rother. Pilsen was a small town with a small Catholic community that grew up farm boys and good, solid roots. One of those solid farm boys was named Emil Capon. Now, there's many ways to pronounce his last name, and they've been arguing about it for many years. Capon or Capin, but the local dialect, especially in Pilsen, says Capon. So that's what we're going to call him. Emil grew up to be just like any of the kids in his environment. But something deep down was calling him beyond the farm of Pilsen. And when the time was right, he went to the seminary. There, they didn't really recognize anything spectacular in Emil. He was just like everyone else. And when ordination came, he was sent back to his hometown to become the assistant priest because he was of Czech descent and he spoke Czech. But it was a challenging time for him there. The folks in the town just knew him as Anus and Elizabeth's boy. People rarely came to him for the difficult situations, though the youth really liked him. They all in the town really deferred to the real pastor. After a few years, as World War II began to rage, Amiel approached the local bishop of Wichita and asked for permission to join the army to become a chaplain. Granted permission, he was off to the Burmese theater. As the war came to a close, and having been promoted to captain, he was released and returned to Kansas, where the bishop asked him to go to Catholic University to study education so that he could work in the schools. That didn't fit Amiel. It wasn't right. But off he went, and after his return, he went back to Pilsen to become pastor. But that didn't feel right either. He was still just Annas and Elizabeth's boy. So after a few years, he asked again to be returned to the military so that he could be with his boys. So the bishop reluctantly agreed, and he was assigned back to the army, where he really was his best destiny. In 1950, he was assigned to duty in Japan, and then Korea came. As the conflict escalated, he found himself headed there. Like many of the boys in those days, the early days of the Korean conflict, they all thought it would be over with in just a few days, maybe a few weeks, certainly a month at best. They'd all be home for Christmas. Chaplain Capon found himself going from in and out of many units, tending the sick, comforting the troops, but always with the boys on the front line. Throughout the months of fighting, Father Capon gained reputation for bravery, serving the troops, rescuing the wounded, caring for the dead, ministering to the living by performing baptisms, hearing confessions, offering Holy Communion, and most of all, celebrating Mass on an improvised altar on the front of his Jeep. On November 1st and 2nd of 1950, more than 20,000 soldiers of North Korea and Chinese crossed the 30th parallel, attacking Capon's 8th Cavalry Regiment. Despite pleas from his superiors to retreat and escape, he stayed behind with 800 men of the 3rd Battalion as the rest of the regiment retreated. During the battle, he braved enemy fire and rescued 40 men laying on the battlefield. But the Chinese continued to assault. They continued to overwhelm the American troops. He and the members of the 8th Battalion suddenly were found themselves overwhelmed and taken as prisoner of wars and marched 87 miles in the cold of the winter, the coldest winter in 140 years, to a temporary prison camp called Camp 5 at Pyeongtaek, North Korea, where they would be held for the duration of the war. Conditions in the camp were deplorable, to say the least. Though he was not the ranking officer, he nonetheless took charge of the men, becoming both their chaplain and their officer in charge. Though the men were separated by rank, the officers in one spot, the enlisted in another, Chaplain Capon seemed to somehow find his way between the two barracks all the time. He took upon himself the morale of the men as best he could. The rations of the men were meager, being given only a cup of millet, really livestock food, one cup a day with a cup of water. Within a few days, it was obvious that this would not allow them to survive. So after much reflection and prayer, Father Capon decided it was up to him to keep them alive. So saying a prayer to St. Dismas, the good thief, he would take it upon himself to go out at night and pillage the local farms, finding any food he could, stealing from them if he had to. Or he would place himself at the end of patrols and the assembled details when they were ordered to march for miles to go find provisions. Along the way, he would sneak out of the captors' huts, steal from them in order to provide the food they would need to keep the POWs in charge and alive. He took rocks and stolen pieces of metal to form pots and pans to provide for the cooking utensils needed in the camp. From all of his skills he learned as a boy at his dad's feet on the farm, each morning he would sneak out of the hut find snow, bring it back in. Stoke the fire of the camp, boil some water. Wake the men up each morning saying, "Morning, boys, hot coffee." Though they all knew it wasn't, just hot water made them somehow a little more palatable, a little more able to have normalcy in a godforsaken, horrible place of abandonment. Dysentery was the plague of the camp. It was from that most of the men would come to meet their end. As they would retch from the horrors of the disease, Father Capon would be there to comfort them, hold their hands, and give them the blessings when their time came, and yes, even last rites. Didn't matter if they were Catholic, Baptist, Jew, Muslim, or no faith at all. He administered the rites of the church and prayed with each one of them. As the end came for any of the men, the captors would take them off and carry them away to the hospital, really nothing much more than a death house. There was no medical attention, no medicine available, just a place for them to starve to death and die of their circumstances. Although the camp itself had two American doctors, they were forbidden to practice Western medicine on any of the prisoners of war. After Easter Sunday services, March 25th, 1951, Chaplain Capon's own health deteriorated to the point of no return. It was obvious that he was not going to survive the war. The men who had bravely protected, whom he had bravely protected, fed, nourished with word and sacrament, with food and any supplies he could, they were now comforting him. The morning came when the Chinese guards, whom he had defied on numerous occasions, came for him. The captain of the guard stormed into the barracks. "He go now," he ordered. The men pleaded, begged. No, he stay with us. We take care of him. No, he go now." But Father Capon agreed. It was time. He consoled the men, gave them instructions on how they were to survive themselves. To one, he gave his missal with the instructions, "You know the prayers, Joe. You keep them going. Keep the services alive. Don't let them stop you." To another, he said, "When you get home, you get that marriage fixed. If you don't, I'll come back from heaven and kick your butt." To them all, he gave his final blessing. To the Chinese guards about to carry him off to the death house, he asked for forgiveness, and he forgave them. Then he was taken away. 2 days later, he died of malnutrition and pneumonia on May 23rd, 1951. The chaplain, like everyone else from the death house, was thrown into a mass grave on the Yalu River. When the war was over and the POWs were released, all of them concurred. Had it not been for Father Emil Joseph Capon, they would not have survived. In retrospect, the Department of Defense likewise concurred. There had been 3 prisoners of war camps in North Korea. One had remarkably survived better than the other 2. The death rate had been lower. The suicide rate had been lower. The overall survival rate had been higher. The only difference between them were, and all conclusions was, one POW camp had Father Emil Capon, and the other 2 had not. By war's end, he had become the most decorated Army chaplain, military chaplain in U.S. history. He was posthumously awarded the Legion of Merit by the United States Army and every medal imaginable except for the Medal of Honor, because it had never been awarded to a prisoner of war. There were several attempts made, but all of them were elusive until the 21st century. Finally, with the help of senators and congressmen and even officials in the Obama administration, all of them from Kansas, they got Congress to act. Finally, on April of 2013, by an act of Congress with the consent of the President of the United States, he was awarded the Medal of Freedom, only the 2nd POW ever to be awarded such. In the meantime, The United States Military Archdiocese and the Diocese of Wichita have been working to promote his cause for canonization, opening it in 1993. After exhaustive research, on November 9, 2015, the Bishop of the Diocese of Wichita presented the Positio Papers, 1,066-page long report of the life, ministry, virtues, holiness, and all aspects of his life. The Congregation of the Causes of Saints was to meet on March 10, 2020, to move forward the cause and declare him a venerable in the life of the Church. However, the day before, on March the 9th, Rome and all of Italy closed due to the pandemic. And as yet, the congregation has yet to reopen to consider the cause. In the meantime, there are at least two miracles already attributed to his intercession, truly unbelievable, beyond understanding, caused by his prayers and intercession. The local investigations have been done, and they are ready to be presented to the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints. They're too long to go into here, but if you read it, you'll understand. Emil Capon intervened to save two people's lives. So when the cause moves forward, when Rome, finally opening back up, gets to the point of considering the cause, hopefully it will move with some speed. Now, mind you, speed in Rome is an oxymoron. Rome moves the speed of a pregnant elephant sitting down, so it will take a while. As part of the identification process, 20 years ago, Korea returned 800 sets of remains to the United States, and the military in Hawaii buried them in one common grave, and have been working for decades to identify the remains of those that were returned. Last year, they positively identified the remains of Father Emil Joseph Capon. Interestingly, of the remains the Koreans identified, most of them were in a common grave near the Yalu River. One was alone. The one grave set aside alone was where Father Emil Capon was buried. Even in his death, the Koreans were somehow mystified, scared, revered the chaplain. So they buried him by himself. So after 70 years of being missing, he was identified. And on Monday, he came home to Kansas, returned first to his parish in Pilsen, then back to Wichita, and finally, after 70 years, received the mass of Christian burial that every baptized person is entitled to. With full military honors and being borne the last couple of miles on a horse-drawn caisson, he returned to the cathedral from which he had been ordained and now will be entombed below the altar of the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, awaiting the canonization process to move forward. Now we await the actions of the Congregation of the Causes of Saints to open back up, to take up this cause of the saint, of the servant of God, granting him a hearing to determine his heroic virtues, which are beyond reproach, to which we all now know, and then to consider the miracles attributed to him, and God willing, to set a date for his beatification. Servant of God, Father Emil John Joseph Capon, is worthy of you knowing, worthy of you asking for his assistance in times of trouble. We should commend to him in his prayers all of our soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, Coast Guardsmen, Space Guardsmen, and all military personnel, especially those stationed abroad. May someday soon we call him venerable, and soon after that, blessed. Let me close with some words of wisdom for our age. Though they were said long time ago, they were said, preached, by Father Capon in a homily for Easter Sunday, broadcast from Tokyo, Japan, April 1950. Quote, We can surely expect that in our lives, in our own lives, there will come a time when we will have to make choices between being loyal to our true faith or giving allegiance to something else, which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask you to give us the courage to be ever faithful to thee. Blessed are they who are persecuted for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.